What a wonderful morning we've had here. A morning of worship, a morning of celebration, of honoring some special people, of giving thanks to people. And again, it goes along with the month that we are in. This month where we have celebrated All Saints Sunday and those who've gone on before us, where we've celebrated those who have sacrificed for our freedoms, a time where we are celebrating such a very special person. And in a few weeks, we get to enter into what is my personally favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. I said to someone this morning when they were talking about Christmas, I don't think about Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And because that is a great holiday, and for me, it is my favorite. And it is a time when I think back in this month of November with All Saints and with all the things we're talking about and with the Thanksgiving season, I think to the theme of thanking God for people. Thanking God for people in our life. And so as we begin this morning, I want to draw this morning's message from Romans chapter 16. And I want to read verses 1 through 16. And out of reverence for the word of God, I invite you to stand with me as we hear together God's word. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who is the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who've been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend, Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philogelus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. May God add his understanding to us today of this, his reading of his holy word. Let's be seated. I hope you won't feel guilty this morning if your heart was not all a flutter and you were not all excited about the reading from Romans 16. It wasn't very interesting, was it? Because it's a list of names. It's a list of strange names. You know, when I was in seminary, we would oftentimes talk amongst the students, the seminary students, what were some of the great texts that we were looking forward to preaching about when we got out into ministry in the church. And when we would do this, we always avoided the lists, right? I mean, we wouldn't dream at that point of preaching from any of the lists that are here in the scripture. I mean, because they just contain simply some names. And that could be a sure way to put people to sleep. I mean, it seems like here in Romans 16 that Paul is sort of calling the roll. And after all, have you ever worshiped in a church where someone got up and called the roll? It could be pretty dull. Or maybe, just maybe, it could be interesting in a way, as calling a roll could tell us a lot about people. A number of years ago, I heard a pastor preach out of Romans 16, and so I want to share with us some of the ideas that I heard those many years ago. But I remember him telling a story, and this was a lot of years ago, about 40 years ago, him telling a story when he was summoned to the superior court of his community to be in a pool out of which juries would be chosen. On Monday morning at 9 o'clock, 240 people gathered in a large room to form a pool of people out of which would be chosen the juries for both civil and criminal cases that week. And the deputy clerk stood up and called the roll. 240 names, and none of them were in alphabetical order, so you really had to listen for your name. And while the pastor was listening, he really began to listen. There were two Bill Johnsons. One was black, one was white, but both were named Bill Johnson. There was a man named Clark, a Mr. Clark, who answered here when the clerk read the name Mrs. Clark. And the clerk said with emphasis, Mrs. Clark, and Mr. Clark stood up and he said, well, I thought the letter was for me, so I opened it. And the clerk said, we summoned Mrs. Clark. And he said, well, I'm here. Can I do it? She doesn't have any interest in this sort of thing anyway. To which the clerk responded, Mr. Clark, how do you know? She doesn't even know she's been summoned. This roll call was getting pretty good. There was a man there by the name of Zerfel Leichenstein, and the pastor remembered the name because they had to go over it five or six times to try to pronounce it correctly. And finally, he stood up and he said, I see no reason why I should serve on a jury in a court that can't even pronounce his my name. And meanwhile, the woman who was seated next to the pastor said to herself, Leichenstein, I wonder if he's Jewish. And the pastor said, well, could be. Does it matter? She said, my name is Zeller, and I am German. And the pastor said, well, this is the 1980s. That was 40 years ago, World War II, the Holocaust, 40 years ago. To which she kind of said half to herself, he could be seated next to me in a jury. The pastor said, well, that was a long time ago. You were probably just a child when that happened. To which she responded, I was 10 years old. I used to visit my grandmother. She lived 4 miles from the Buchenwald concentration camp. I smelled the odor. You know, understanding the dynamics that there can be involved in calling of the roll, a person could really get interested in Paul's calling of the roll here in Romans 16. Because it's really a sociological profile of the membership of a church. I mean, I wondered as I studied this text, how did Paul know all those people? Because he'd never been to Rome before. And yet he's writing a letter to them. And back then you couldn't purchase mailing lists or email lists like you can today. They must have all been transplants to Rome from other places. And he's saying, tell this one hello and say hello to that one. And in this church, there's a husband and a wife, Aquila and Priscilla. There's a man and his mother, Rufus and his mother. There's a brother and sister, Nereus and his sister. There are twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. There's an elderly man, Epaenetus. There's a single woman, Mary. There's a single man, Herodian. Not a whole lot of nuclear family here, but nonetheless, family. Family as Jesus has called them to be together within the body of Christ. People who have trusted Jesus in faith for forgiveness of sin and salvation and for eternal life and for life to the fullest here in this life. And so you see, it is an interesting list for Paul. And if Paul was here today, he would say, don't call it just a list. It is not just a list. He's getting his bags ready to go on another missionary journey. He's home, at home, in the home of a man named Gaius there in Corinth, where he's been staying while he's been ministering to the Corinthian church. And he's packing, getting ready to go off to Italy and Rome. And from there, he's going to use that as a jumping off place to extend this revolution of faith that we've been talking about over these last weeks in our series on Acts. And he's going to be extending the good news of the gospel as he's going to go to Spain on yet another missionary journey. He's about to move on and start some more churches that are very far away, and he's around 59 years old. And maybe while he's packing his belongings and he's kind of narrowing some things down, throwing some things out to trim the load, he comes across some correspondence or some notes or something that leads him to write an addendum to what he has written in his letter to the church at Rome. And we don't know all of this for sure, but obviously it's a time of remembering for Paul. As he's thinking about all of these people who he has ministered with and who have been so special, it's a time of remembering, and it's something you and I have done at times in our life too, isn't it? Remembering special people from our past. You know, when Vanessa and I finished our work at Bethesda Covenant Church in Rockford, Illinois, a church where we served while we were in seminary, we took with us a copy of the church directory, the church rolls, so to speak. And every now and then we come across that directory and we open it up and we see the pictures and we see the names and we remember. There's Wesley. Gave me such a hard time because he couldn't deal with the fact that the pastor was only 25 years old. But there's Don and Shirley, people who were totally the opposite. And honey, there was Mike and Linda. Remember when they put new tires on our car when we were struggling financially? And there's Mary. Mary, what a quiet, gentle, sweet-spirited woman. Oh, and honey, there's Dick. What a truly funny man he was. And what a saint his wife, Phyllis, was to have put up with him. I mean, even the high school group thought she was the best for being able to do that. And there's Ann and Bill and Sherry. Good people, committed to Jesus, loved on us, and there's Bill's dad. Remember how he took you under his wing and was like a grandpa to you. Always concerned that you didn't get left in the shuffle. And I remember the night he died. His was the first funeral I was ever involved with as a pastor. And that's the way it is when we go over the list. And so let's not call it just a list. And Paul would say here in Romans 16, don't call it just a list. Look at verses 1 and 2 as it comes up on the screen. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant in the church of Centrea, and I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. And by the way, give her any help she may need from you. For she has been such a great help to so many people. She has ministered to so many people, including me. She is a special person. Treat her as such. And then verses 3 through the first part of 5, greet Aquila and Priscilla, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Man, they risked their necks for me when we were in Corinth. They supported me. They backed me. They were committed in every way to Jesus Christ in their life. And I am so grateful for them. Greet them and greet also the church that meets at their home. And then there is my dear friend Epaphroditus. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus in the end of verse 5, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia, the first person in Asia converted under my preaching. And I got to tell you, I didn't sleep a wink that night because I kept thinking, thank God, finally somebody after all of this time has responded to the gospel. The first of many to come to know Jesus in faith. What a marvelous day that was. And then verse 6, and there's Mary. Greet Mary. Oh, how Mary worked so very hard. She was there when everyone else went home. And she was always the one who would say, Paul, you go on home now. I'll take care of things here. I'll clean up the place and get things straightened up and lock up. You go home. You're tired. And I'd say, well, Mary, you're tired too. And she'd say, yeah, but Paul, you got to ride a donkey across Asia tomorrow. So you go on home, get some rest. I'll take care of things here. Mary worked so very hard, according to verse 6. She was one who saw that the little things got done. And then verse 7, greet the apostles, Andronicus and Junia, my relatives. Junia, as we saw last week, as we talked about women in ministry and in leadership in the life of the church, as we wrapped up our study of the book of Acts, Junia, who was outstanding amongst the apostles, he says, my relatives who've been in prison with me. Man, are they strong and committed Christians. Wow, they were an encouragement to me when we were in prison. Verses 8 and 9, greet Impliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And get this, my dear friend Stachys. Men with whom Paul ministered and became close. They became dear friends. And then he mentions a few others in the next verses. And then in verse 12, he says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Tryphena and Tryphosa are twins. That's why their names are that way. And they always sat over here on this side of the church, and they always wore blue. And you know, I never could tell them apart. I mean, one of them had a mole on their cheek, but that was about it. That was the only way I could tell the difference between the two of them. But wow, did they ever work hard at getting ministry going to people who needed to know that Jesus loved them. And then there's verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother. Greet his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Tell Rufus hello. And tell his mother hello too, because she is a mother to me as well. Isn't that something? Someone earned this nickname from the Apostle Paul. His mother, probably because he stayed in her home and became like a son to her. And can't you just see her now, that grandmotherly type, always with the apron on and things stuffed in the pockets, the hair pulled back in the bun. And she'd say to Paul when he'd come into the kitchen in the morning, fix the good breakfast for you, Paul. And he'd say, I'm sorry, I can't stay. I got too much to do today. And she'd say, Paul, you sit down and you eat your breakfast. I don't care if you are an apostle, you have to eat. Paul says in verse 13, tell my mother hello. And on it goes through the list, because you see, it's not just a list. It's not just a list. You know, I remember a number of years ago now, in fact, it was in our first church in Escanaba, Michigan, our first full-time pastoral ministry. And I remember when they brought the famous list to Escanaba. And I remember some years later when they brought that same famous list in the early 2000s to Clay Center, Kansas, where we were pastoring. And I remember the workers setting up that long list, block after block, of forming a long line of names, Vietnam names. And I remember back in Escanaba that some people went up to just view it kind of out of curiosity, and they kind of looked at it like it was just a list of names, while others went over to it closer. And others slowly walked down the column. And I remember there was a woman who went up and put her finger on the name of her son. And as I stood by them and listened to the conversation, I saw that teenage boy put his name, his finger on the name of the father who he had never met. I saw an elderly woman go up and kiss the wall on the name of her grandson. I saw a fellow Marine go up and put his Marine Corps utility cover at the base of the wall as he wept by the name of his friend. And I saw all kinds of flowers lying beneath the wall. And I saw similar kinds of things at the actual wall on the Memorial Day weekend of 2008, when after our daughter Bethany graduated, she and I went on a daddy-daughter trip to New York City and to Washington, D.C. for a week. And we went around to many of the sites, including the Vietnam War Memorial. And I will never forget, and she will never forget, the sight of a veteran who stood there motionless, looking at the names on the wall for over half an hour, did not move. And I will never forget the overwhelming emotion I felt in doing the rubbing, a brass rubbing of a name on the wall. The name of a man who is a very special part of our church family in Massachusetts, who had died so young in the jungles of Vietnam on a riverboat patrol during some of the fiercest fighting of the war. Don't call it a list. Don't call it just a list. They are names that are very special. And here in Romans 16, the people that Paul lists are likewise special to him, as they are people who've been part of the body of Christ, the church family, people who gathered together with him, much like we today are gathered here, much like we today are ministering together to one another in this community and out in the world around us, ministering to people who need to know the name of Jesus and know that God loves them. And these are people for Paul who have ministered with him and suffered with him and fellowshipped with him, all in the name of Jesus. They are people who counted the cost and said no cost is too great to make Jesus and the ministry of the church to the world around us not a top priority in our life. No cost is too great. We want to become a priority in this world and make the world a priority by being a light in our neighborhood and in our schools and in our places of work, blessing people, that acronym BLESS that we oftentimes talk about, where we begin by praying for people, and then we come alongside them and we listen to their needs and their concerns, and maybe we gather together to eat together with them, the E in that word BLESS, and we get together for coffee, or we just sit down and we hear their story, and then we take time to serve them in their needs. The first of those S's in BLESS. And then we get an opportunity potentially to share the story, to share our story, and to share his story and his love for them. You see, these people in Romans 16 were special people to Paul. And so they are not just some names on some sort of a roll call. They are more than that. They are people who are truly God's people. And they are people who aren't just playing a game by calling themselves a Christian. These are people whose lives and whose work have shown that they are really, truly followers of Jesus. And they have come together in this family of God. And today, as we hear this, and today, as we have seen something about Romans 16. And today in this season where we have celebrated All Saints Sunday and we've celebrated Veterans Day and we've celebrated Bob's life and ministry. And as we are about to enter into a season of Thanksgiving, can we be thankful for the many ways in which God has blessed us? Can we be thankful for the many ways in which God has blessed us, including blessing us with people who he has put into our lives who have been so very special to us? People who have been important to us because God has used them to build faith into your life and mine. People who are alive today or maybe who aren't alive, but who've been an example to us of what it means to live for Jesus. And maybe they're the people who led us to faith in Christ. Maybe they're people who have mentored us and discipled us in our faith. Maybe they're people who have encouraged us as we live life in a world that is just so upside down. A world where, as I say oftentimes, we have lost our collective minds. And yet we need each other to come alongside one another and help each other to get through life, and to not only just get through life, but to thrive in life. And to experience those words of Jesus who said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And so today, as we have come into the worship center, I'm hoping that you received one of these cards. Where on it, it has some pictures of people that might remind you of people who have been important in your life, and then have the words from Philippians 1:3 on it. I thank my God every time I remember you. And I want to invite you today to take this list home with you. And if you did not get one, pick one up. We have some extras here at the front. There'll be some extras in the back as well on your way out. But pick it up, and sometime today or sometime in the next few days, reflect on that verse. I thank my God every time I remember you. And write a name. You choose a name. You remember the name. Maybe the name of someone who's gone home to be with the Lord. Maybe the name of someone who's still alive, but someone who God has used to bless you and your life in some way. And like we do with those church directories, I invite you, keep the list. Keep the list with you. Keep it always. Keep it forever. I know when you get to heaven, you're going to probably try to take the list with you, right? And St. Peter, when he meets you at the gate, is going to say, hey, you came into this world without anything. You got to go out without anything. You got to leave it the same way. What do you have there? And maybe you'll say, well, it's just a piece of paper with some names on it. And he'll say, let me see it. And you say, well, it's this list of some people who I spent time with on earth and who helped me and for whom I am so very thankful. And he'll say, okay, let me see it. Well, it's just a group of people who, if it hadn't been for them, I might not be here today. And he says again, I want to see it. And you show it to him. And he smiles. And he says, I knew all of them. In fact, on my way down here to the gate to meet you, I passed a group of them. And they were hanging up a big sign for you. And it says, welcome home. Welcome home.